Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Anolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
So, I don't believe that summer officially starts until, like, in June. But, yeah, because it's already hot as balls down here. And keep in mind, when it gets hot down here in the South, it's not just heat. It's humidity.
Yeah.
Never a dry heat there.
Nope. It's humidity. It's the weather.
It's not so much hot as balls as sweaty as balls.
And the mosquitoes. That's also when they start showing up, too. Now, fortunately, I haven't seen any mosquitoes just yet, but let's just say I'm waiting on them.
Yeah.
Just any day now.
It'll be around.
Anyway, so this episode is going to be for May 22nd, 2020. We are now officially getting ready to start off summer. And for right now, I don't know about you, but I'm already sick of it. Like, I just am. I'm sick of it already. Mm. I'm ready for it to fall again. Mm. But anyway, so, as far as, COVID-19 is concerned, as usual, we will have another COVID-19 dump drop for you, but, once again, we're not, gonna be doing our updates, really. Honestly, we're probably not gonna start doing that again until winter.
Well, that's good, because I totally don't have the numbers ready.
Yeah, we're probably not gonna
until the second wave hits.
We're just more or less on standby for right now. So with that, let's start off as we always do. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I've still been listening to The Wheel of Time. I'm on the last book now.
Let's see. Which one is that?
Memory of Light.
Ah.
Yeah, so there's that one, and I got about 30 hours to go on that. So a quarter of the way through. Well, more than a quarter of the way through. Beyond that, let's see. Well, I wanted to listen to that new Pearl Jam album.
They released a new album, didn't they?
Like, Teresa, like, listened to it a little while ago and didn't really care for it too much. And, like, the first
time... Well, just a single, but, yeah. I didn't like it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, well, I heard the whole album, and it's, like, it's definitely not the Pearl Jam album I was expecting, but there is some real good stuff on there. Quick Escape is a really good song. It's kind of weird because it's a much more grown up Pearl Jam, I would say. These guys they're not the young guys that they were when they did, 10 and Verses. And, that kind of comes through in their writing. There's a lot of stuff in there that's, about the current shit that we're going through. It's good stuff there. A couple things I actually want to point out about that album. First off, when you actually sit down and listen to it and put on some good headphones, it sounds amazing. They did a really, really good job with just the tone of that album. It's everybody has room to breathe in that soundstage. It's like nobody's really stepping on each other. It all sounds good. And I never noticed this before, but at least for this particular album, Eddie Vedder has just an amazing just presence to his voice this time around. It's like
he always brings that though.
Yeah, but in this case, listen to the song Retrograde, and then get back to me.
Okay,
because how can I really put it? It's like there's a weight to his voice this time around. It's like we've all seen some shit, and he's just letting that out, And it's really good. Yeah, there's some fun songs on there, like Super Blood Wolf Moon, because that's a thing that they did. Good stuff there. Yeah. Couple of songs like Quick Escape, which really kind of remind me of the Versus era of Pearl Jam, so they can still do it.
I'm glad there's stuff like that on there.
Yeah, it's it really seems to me like an album that everybody contributed to and everybody had a part in, And it's like these guys are all very talented musicians, all very talented writers, and everybody's getting a chance to show that off.
That is cool.
But the problem with that is the album will kind of feel like it's kind of all over the place, and it is. But there's nothing inherently bad on it. Even like, you know, Dance of the Clairvoyants, which I don't know if I would have led that as the sequel, as the single for that particular, for this album. Because it's not a really good representation of what the album is. So, yeah. If they had led with Quick Escape, that probably would have been a much better showing for the album. But
You're thinking that might be the next single?
Probably should be, yeah. So yeah, check it out. I mean, it's on Spotify. Take a listen to it or YouTube or whatever. But yeah, it's worth, you know, the 45-50 minutes of listening to it. So, cool. I enjoyed it, and it's like, yeah, I'll probably listen to it again. Cause there's some songs in there that are stuck in the back of my mind. And you know, when that happens, you know, the album like left a mark. So yeah. I'm digging it. And beyond that, I wanted some other stuff to listen to, so I started digging into the Kraftwerk catalog, because Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
It's...
You don't need to justify it.
No, it's Kraftwerk. It's... You could just listen to it. It's kind of chill music. There's, you know, it's electronic, but at the same time, it's very melodic. I dig it. And, yeah. Also... Autobahn is a very fucking weird song. I'll just point that out.
But, that's pretty much just standard issue for Kraftwerk, period.
Yeah, it's just weird. so far, I think Computer World is probably my favorite album. So,
I think they were probably like one of the first bands that like really embraced, you know, synthesizers and sequencers for their own sake, rather than just as a neat little... like a neat little novelty, like a lot of the prog bands used to do.
Yeah. Yeah, they just went full whole hog on it, and they used them really well. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also noticed on Spotify that they have the 3D concert, which is basically like they played their entire catalog live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah, I'll probably like dig in and listen to that, because, yeah, it's pretty good stuff. So, beyond that, not a whole heck of a lot of else. You know, playing Streets of Rage 4 and PC Building Simulator, and
yep,
just trying not to melt, which is what I'm doing right now. So that's kind of it for me.
All right, cool. Pat, what about you? Because I know you've got a new thing going that you're happy to introduce to people.
Yeah, so I've been doing my Utah Eagles thought experiment / bingeable hockey project for the better part of this year so far. And moving from there, I'm still going to be doing that one, obviously, because there's no end in sight to it. I want to get through at least 4 seasons of it, but I wanted to do something a little more grounded in reality. And so the new show that I'm going to be premiering this weekend on my YouTube channel is called NHL Rewritten. And I'm going to be revisiting season by season snapshots of different teams' histories where you knew things were going to go bad for them, but they instead went spectacularly wrong. And I'm going to do my best to usher those historic teams through that era better than the GMs that actually, you know, were on duty for those situations. And so the first season that I'm going to be taking a look at will be the 2003-2004 Anaheim Mighty Ducks, because, man, life came at this team fast, didn't it? They came within a hair's breadth of joining a really exclusive club at the very top of the NHL's pre-lockout Western Conference, and you know, came within one game of being the only other, or being the only the fourth team in the Western Conference during a certain era to win the Stanley Cup. And They lost in Game 7 of that series. The only franchise icon centerpiece they've ever known, that would be his final NHL game. And basically they went on to try and kind of hack their way through the 2003-2004 season with whatever was left of that Stanley Cup run roster, which, you know, had just had its heart ripped out. Their the only captain they had ever really known had moved on to another team, and so they basically enlisted a hired gun, Sergei Fedorov, who was certainly accomplished, but he had zero familiarity with the Ducks organization or the type of system they were trying to play. And so the very year after they made it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, they would fail to even make the playoffs. And I don't know if this was brought on by maybe ownership saying, all right, we're going to have to just go into a deep rebuild and come back in a few years, which they did do. They would win the Stanley Cup in 2007 with an entirely new cast, but I just feel like the 2003-2004 season in particular was more of a regression for them than it had to be, and I can do it better. So that's going to be the general theme of season one of NHL Rewritten. I'm going to see what could have happened if the Ducks had gone for it the year after Paul Kariya departed the team. And we'll see how it goes. I will be using Franchise Hockey Manager 6 to do the simulation instead of NHL 20, because NHL 20 doesn't let you wind back the clock to go to specific seasons the way FHM 6 does. But I'm really looking forward to this project. I love the software that I'm using. I wish it would let me produce actual broadcast quality games the way NHL 20 lets me do. But for what it is, I mean, it's an amazing piece of software, and we'll see what happens trying to rewrite Ducks history. I'm looking forward to it. And other than that, I don't know what's been going on with me for the last couple days, but I almost feel like a 2-year-old who's been given a steady diet of prune juice, because I've just had some really nasty stomach issues going on, and I'm hoping they clear up in the next couple days, but I'm not feeling fantastic right now.
It could be a little bug.
Could be a bug.
I haven't really been exposed to anything. I've been properly isolating, so I'm not sure where I would have picked anything up from. Just something I ate, but it took me behind the woodshed today. I hope whatever it is, it's out of my system literally at this point, but see, I'm just trying to focus on NHL Rewritten, stay fixated on the positives.
All right, then, Teresa, what about you?
Oh, man, we've been watching all the shit. That's what we've been doing this week. We went through the entire first season of The Great in 2 days. Just that
comedy series about Catherine the Great?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty irreverent. It's fun. You know, it's not any kind of highbrow anything or another. It's just fun. Just fun. So we did that. We've been watching some Brooklyn Nine-Nine, playing a lot of Animal Crossing, kind of, but then it kind of tapered off. You know how it goes. In waves, like everything else. Played a little bit of Civ 6, got pissed off at most of the people. Tried to do a True Earth start, and that sucks, because apparently we're just, like, on top of each other whenever civilizations began. So I moved over to Final Fantasy 14 because I got a little pissed off.
Oh, you should sure let me know.
Well, it was while you were working. So, yeah, it was while you were working. So I was just kind of like trying to figure out all of my crossbar stuff. And I don't have Peloton on the right thing because I can't use it while I'm moving my character. I have to stop moving my character because that thumb is in use. So it's all wrong. I did a couple of dungeon roulettes, and I'm trying to tweak it, and I swear to God, after I get this finished, I'm going to take pictures of it, scan it. I am never going to lose this because I'm so sick of not having whatever, you know, whenever a computer crashes or something. It's really annoying. There's way too many moves. There's way too many, especially with the way the dancer works, and you gotta chain them the right way. So once I get this all set, it'll be great. And then whatever server you're on, I'll probably move to that. So, but
yeah, come to Gilgamesh. We just started a new FC that we're trying to get off the ground, and
okay,
the more the merrier.
Yeah, because I don't think Ted's doing much over there on Goblin. I mean, he's barely on Animal Crossing. I don't think he has time for any of it. Any of it.
That's fair.
Yeah. And then also Kingdom Two Crowns, Deadlands expansion that they came out with a few weeks ago. We're still working on that. There's a decent amount of bugs in here. And I tell you guys, it just runs like shit on the Xbox. I mean, it slows down to an absolute crawl. It just does not have the computing strength that this needs in order to keep track of all of the units, all of the coins, all of the enemy units. It's just too much for it. But what do you do? Either sit on the couch and play it there or shut up about it.
Basically.
The couch has a big computer. And then we also watched a few movies. We watched Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, because we had watched the original with our kid the other day. And that was funny, man. Jack Black, he really nailed being a teenage girl. I never thought that I would use those words together. And then we watched Lego Movie 2. I think it's called the second movie. The second part. Which is very Lego-ish to say. But that's a lot. And there's a lot of personal stuff going on, too, that we don't need to get involved in. Just know that whoever messes with my uncle is going to pay. They're going to pay heartily. But yeah, that's about it for me.
All right. Chris, what about you?
It's been a very exhausting week. Working all week. More than I would like, but whatever. Still got one more day, and then my schedule kind of goes back to normal again, so hopefully things are okay. It's been raining all week. Been annoying. Apparently we got our first like tropical storm off the coast, so that's just been keeping these rainstorms just hovering over the Great Lakes, essentially, which caused a big issue up in Michigan. We'll be talking about that a little bit later, but here it's just been like, oh, it's going to rain every day.
Did you guys flood real bad like we did?
Not really. Oof. It's just a lot of rain for the most parts. It was a lot worse down in like Columbus and off to the west of us, where there like rain totals for days were like 2 or 3 inches, that kind of thing. Here it was like 1 inch maybe at most. So it wasn't too bad. Just having it constantly rain whenever you're going to be the one outside for a bit. It's like, she just picked exactly when I'm going to be outside to rain on me. Just be super annoying. But yeah, I've been super busy. Not really had too much time to do a lot of things. So on the weekend, I watched just some real lazy stuff there with Back to the Future, which is on Netflix now, as well as 2 and 3, though it didn't recommend I watch 2 and 3 for whatever reason when I finished that. But it's kind of crazy. That's like one of the most popular movies of the 80s for the incest bait storyline of the whole thing.
Right.
Where it's like, hey, one of the most popular movies is about a kid going back 30 years in time and finding out his mom wants to fuck him.
Well, I mean, like, all
she's
of those...
like a horn dog at that age when they really hammer it home in the beginning parts, like, that she's very stuck up and all this. It's like, oh, I wouldn't do that when I was a girl. He goes back and is like, no, she would fuck whoever got hit by her dad's car. She could. That's all it took. Especially when you see her talking about his underwear. Like, I'd never seen purple underwear before. That kind of stuff. It's all weird, but yeah, Christopher Lloyd's just a great part of that movie. Yeah.
How old was he when he did that? Because he looked ancient back then. He looked ancient when he was on Taxi.
Oh, he's going to bury all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I know definitely they put on stuff on his neck and all that to make him look older than he was. Because when they go back in time, he just looks like his normal self. But I could probably look it up. But yeah, he's just a great part of that, especially. Okay, he's 81 now. So he was, 86? He was about 50.
Yeah, right around.
And he had the white hair for quite a while.
Yep.
I like Steve Martin.
Yeah. But yeah, that was great. And I also watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which there's a lot more cursing in that than I remember. They say shit a lot.
We started watching that a couple weeks ago with our kid. We didn't finish, but he was definitely amused.
Yeah, this is like a... It doesn't feel like a movie that's intended for adults. As far as the language is concerned, it feels like a story that's, you know, can apply to people of all ages. Then they just start saying shit all the time, and you're like, oh, well, that's certainly a thing.
And then it gets even weirder when you realize that the guy who played the principal is now a registered sex offender.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's he definitely does a good job of being a creep in that movie.
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like good casting, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of creepy. I love the ending of that movie. It's one of the best, as far as like the credit stuff. Especially that song that nobody knows except for it being in that movie at the end there.
The one that plays if you fail a license exam in Gran Turismo 4?
Yeah. I only know from that and Gran Turismo. Can't even think of what the song's name is or the band or any of that stuff. That's it. Just him getting on the bus, realizing it, and he is just fucked up everything.
It's Oh Yeah by Yellow, by the way, in case you guys
didn't
know. Like, I may be one of the only people that actually know it. So.
Yeah, I never knew that, apparently, so.
It's one of those things I could see that name and not attach it to the music itself. I also started watching She-Ra, because the final season's out, and I didn't realize that I'd missed a season, so I'm still in the fourth season, which is still... Realize it means I still got like another 16 episodes to go, which is great. And I'll probably binge watch that on my day off, coming up here on the rest of the weekend. That's still great. Keeps going. And Patriot Act is back on Netflix. They're doing their first show with the stay home stuff, which unlike last week tonight's. What they're doing is just full green screen behind Hasan Minhaj, so they can do all their kind of typical graphic stuff behind him. But he doesn't have the stage to walk around on and do all this stuff or crowd to interact with. But talked about the housing crisis we're going to be having coming up with COVID-19, because millions of people are missing rent. There's some landlords that are being nice about it, others that are being assholes. And so there's going to be a chain effect with all this. It's going to lead to potentially the way that they kind of see it is that a lot of the big, huge conglomerates that buy up housing properties. Could wind up buying a lot of rental properties as well for apartments and all that kind of stuff. And start owning huge segments of that market from the small people.
That's just what we need.
Yep. Who have even worse customer service and all that than the assholes can be for landlords. Which is kind of crazy. But yeah, the new Last Week Tonight, where he covers a lot of the sports leagues and how that stuff was going with coronavirus, is pretty great, especially at the end when he reveals that he's a huge fan of the Marble Racing League.
Oh my God, we've been watching that for a couple of years.
Yeah, that they've used their HBO money to like sponsor it for the upcoming season to be the only sponsor, which is kind of crazy.
I'm glad they're doing it, man. That is some quality freaking content. You guys should go check out the Yelly's, what's it called? Marble Race on YouTube. There's so many of them, and the tracks are insane. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I assume it takes a long time to build those tracks.
Because
I assume it's a lot of testing, like building out certain turns and all this, seeing how it works, and then kind of continuing on until you have something of a course.
Yeah, sometimes like on the sand ones, you can see where they've made modifications if you're watching close enough.
Yeah. And then he has like mechanical ones. Or has like weird little things that pick up the ball to put it up to a higher part of the course kind of stuff. It's a very weird thing that's like shows you the level of what kind of sports are available that this Marble League has taken over.
Yeah.
Because people like yell at the marbles that they liked and that aren't performing. And it's like,
yeah,
man,
it's like,
it's like, oh, okay, sure. This is 2020.
This just looks like real life Marble Madness. I'm totally down with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they got freaking
kind of stuff.
They've got a freaking marbles in the stands. Like,
yep. It's amazing. And then they'll edit together these teaser videos and stuff. I mean, some of this is like super well done.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's calling like Marbula One.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I'm definitely going to have to watch this after we're done.
This is insane. It's awesome.
Yeah. Which they've gotten to a million YouTube subscribers, so.
Yep. Million and a half, actually.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which I think it's what, I forget what the URL is.
I can't believe I haven't told you guys about this before.
I had no idea.
You haven't told us about this. Fuck you for not having told us yet, damn it.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you about all my weird-ass YouTube subscriptions. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and plug Mobile Tech Review, by the way.
Eh.
Oh, and yes, we watch videos of rats, by the way, quite a bit. Okay, it's not the rats.
Ants.
Oh, the ants. Ants Canada. I've told them about Ants Canada.
Yeah, you've told us about Ants Canada.
Yeah.
And as for me, I always recommend historical Italian cooking. I don't know. It's just weirdly addictive, and it's just I live to hear him say the word garum. You know, just. And then we have a cup of garum. We talk later about it. You know, it's good.
Okay.
Good shit. And a lot of it's really easy to do, too. It's mostly the hardest part is tracking down the ingredients. So, is it my turn?
No, I just started talking about all this shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, for games, not really been doing too much there. I finally got the last trophy for Adventure Capitalist on PS4. Finally got that and then deleted it because there's no more point to the game after that.
Yeah.
Especially for this bad version of the game. And then played some What the Golf. That's what I streamed yesterday, which is kind of a perfect game for what I needed right now. It's a very silly golf game that has very – it's essentially – it's like if golf were mixed with WarioWare, where you run into these holes that are just like quick little challenges. Usually it's, you know, get the thing to the to the flag. The first couple is like, oh, just hit this ball over here. Ah, here's like a little trick to the whole thing. And then the next one's you go to hit the ball, and then your guy just starts flying across the hole. Turns out the guy's the ball this time. And so you go and knock it in. And there's usually a pun for whenever you finish a level. There's one that's you have this big one marked into the ground, and then the hole that the ball goes into, you just knock it into the one. It's like hole in one. Because you've knocked the hole into the one. Lots of puns here, and lots of fun little stuff. And almost every single of these holes has three parts to it. You can go back to them, and there'll be like a par challenge usually, or something else. And then a final one that gets you a crown. And you get all the crowns in an area. It gets and unlocks a special item that goes into this like trophy room. I assume there's some special bonuses there. It also has like a daily challenge thing, and there's party mode for the Switch version that's out now. And I think some other stuff there as well. Yeah, it's a very fun, silly game. They even do some cool stuff. Like there's a some point you're playing like a Super Mario Brothers like with these golf mechanics. That's just very weird and cool the way it works. So yeah, it's a very silly and fun little game. And also doing my Animal Crossing stuff. I fucked up with my turnips, and they turned rotten.
Oh shit! Did you put them out on the ground so you could at least get ants and flies?
I took one of them. Did that?
Okay, it takes a few days for the flies. Don't give up. It'll happen.
But yeah, because I was since I've been working a lot.
It bothers me that sounds like something you want.
You're trying to fill out your
something you want.
You fill out your compendium of insects. There's one that a couple that just rely on you fucking up with your turnips. So yeah, once I get a day off here, I'm gonna have to just sit down.
I expected.
Yeah, it's realistic. But yeah, I'm gonna have to sit down and deal with the tickets, going to the other islands and grinding out some money because I'm stuck with this bill still after I fucked up all this. I didn't have any great prices either. That was the whole problem. I think the high I had was like 148 from what I bought at 102. So I was like, I was trying to see like what the next day would be so I could just about get there. And then I went back and was like, oh, these are all rotten now. Okay. That's fine. I can pick these all up and just get rid of them.
Yeah.
At least instead of worrying about it. And yeah.
That sucks, though. Did you, like, drop the whole almost 400,000 on him?
It was about 600.
God. Yep. That's rough.
Yeah, but I was like, I got enough shit to sell anyway.
Oh, shit. I forgot. I left some in my bedroom. Okay. I'll take care of that.
Yeah, so that's been mostly it. I'll be streaming the next 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday will be the new NES and the SNES games that are on the Switch apps. So that'll be fun. Check out Rygar and Panel de Pon and some of those others that are on there now. And that's it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, as for me, I played and finished the campaign for the more recent Sakura Wars, the recent one. And damned if it wasn't good. You can definitely tell that they have a lot of respect for the whole franchise, but they're also trying to sort of carve their own path here with this sort of soft reboot, which isn't really a reboot, it's just a sequel, with a bit of a time skip.
Yeah, with enough distance that it can become Kubo's thing.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the way it gets, the game gets really dark and kind of emotional at certain points, especially towards the end, because, like, one of the big things that happens, like, about, like, between the time skip is this thing called the Battle of Tokyo, which is kind of an event that happens, like, towards the end of the last Sakura Wars. And it's basically, it's like a sort of all out assault on Tokyo. And it's basically, it's the reason why the old Imperial Combat Review is no longer around, because they had to basically seal off Shadow Tokyo. And the only way they were able to do that was to have all but one of the original Combat Review use their spirit power to seal it off. The only one who remained behind, of course, is Sumire, who is now the new manager of the review by the time you start this game.
I can picture that.
Yeah. And they really don't go into like what happened until like towards the end of the game. Like you get this sense that, you know, it's like, cause when you start the game, it's like, okay, what the fuck happened? Like where, you know, the theater is like run down and, you know, they're a laughing stock and the only person left behind from the legacy is Sumire. And the original Sakura, you know, Sakura Shinji Uchi or whatever. Yeah. She makes like a brief cameo at the very beginning of the game. And then she only makes one more appearance towards the end. But like all the others are pretty much no shows. I'm guessing what's going to happen is that by the time the next game rolls around, they're probably going to have – they're going to sort of go more in-depth into the Shadow Tokyo stuff and hopefully get some of the – get, you know, a bunch of the old girls back in. Not because I don't like the new girls. I absolutely do. They're all great in their own way. But, you know, the originals are hard to beat. But yeah, it's a good game. If I have only one complaint, it's that it's kind of short. And I think that's partly because with the original games and their original battle systems, they seem a little longer than you would expect, because it's that, you know, that simulation RPG type, you know, combat that makes the whole thing sort of stretch out a bit more. Whereas in, you know, this, in the newer Sekiro Wars, it's more, I don't want to say hack and slash based. That's one of the options you can use, but it's a bit more streamlined than the old ones were. And having been playing sort of the original Sekiro Wars on my PC, I can definitely tell that as great as that original game is, the original combat could use a little bit of streamlining. Just a smidgen. Yeah, it's definitely great. It's a fantastic game. Loved it. Let's see. Other than that, also been playing Valkyria Chronicles still. I'm just about finished with it. I'm right up to that point where I'm fixing to go up against the prince and, you know, his giant fucking tank. And yeah, that game's still great. We are still about a month out until The Last of Us Part 2 releases, and I am very excited for that, mostly out of spite, just because I want to prove all the doubters wrong. Let's see, other than that, anime. Since I've now finished Sakura Wars, I'm probably going to start watching the recent anime, which kind of acts as a sort of sequel to the game. But my primary anime watching has been between the second season of Legend of the Galactic Heroes, Dynasties, and I recently started watching Akame ga Kill.
How is that? I've heard good things.
Yeah, if I have one problem with it, it's that it's a little inconsistent. Not plot-wise, but in its tone. Because the story it's telling is a very grim and serious one, but it also tries to bring in the comedy and slapstick on occasion, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it just doesn't. But basically, it is probably just an out-and-out fucking nasty deconstruction of the whole idea of, like, you know, the wide-eyed JRPG protagonist going to the big city to make it rich. Because basically, by the time you get to the city, it's basically dominated by this guy who's the prime minister named Prime Minister Honest, who, you know, because there's an emperor who's reigning on the throne who's just like a little kid, and, you know, he has this big, fat, hairy bastard who is just almost cartoonishly evil. And were it not for the current administration, he would seem almost completely unbelievable. But
times being what they are.
Yep. And so the heroes, if you want to call them, are the people called Night Raid, who are essentially a covert sort of ops group that do major assassinations within the borders of the Empire on the orders of what's called the Revolutionary Army, which is a revolution, which is exactly as it sounds. They're basically getting ready to, you know, they're getting all their shit together, getting ready to invade and take the city, but they need to build up their numbers before they can go in. And so he ends up joining Night Raid. And here's the thing. Night Raid makes no bones about the fact that they're basically terrorists.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, there's really no other way to say it. They're terrorists, basically. Right. And, like, they even – yeah, and they – like, there's a point where, like, he – like, in the – early in the second episode, the protagonist is like, you know, I know now what you guys are. You guys are assassins for justice. And they almost fall over themselves laughing. They're like, no, kid, we are straight-up murderers, and we could pay the price for it at any given moment. Yeah. But, yeah, it's definitely – good watching, but it's definitely one of those series that, you know, audience, you know, darkness induced apathy is something that can happen if you're not prepared for it. But yeah, it's definitely worth watching. It's good shit. And also it's hot as balls. Did I mention that? I mentioned that earlier, didn't I? Yeah, it's hot as balls.
And sweaty as balls.
And sweaty as balls. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's about it. Okay. So, does anybody got anything they want to add before we move on?
Well, I finally found one Switch game to pick up while we were doing our intro to the show this week.
Oh, and that is?
Super Mario Maker 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so
you're gonna like it, of course.
You're gonna like it and also hate it because there are some sadistic motherfuckers who make those.
No, I actually have zero interest in playing other people's content because the whole ultra difficult / Kaizo model has never been my bag. I'm more interested in seeing what can be done in terms of down to earth standard level design.
Oh,
and they do some great things.
Yeah, there are some good stuff like that too. They got a lot.
That was what I was worried about because, like, I bought this game specifically thinking I was probably just going to have to design all my own shit to enjoy it. So, but if that's not the case, then even so much the better.
All right.
Yeah, but that just happened while we were talking here from the top of the show. So, yeah.
All right. All right, then. Well, now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And you know what? Because I've been playing Sakura Wars, I was a little bit inspired about a little bit talking about what our subject is going to be this week. So this week I'm going to talk a little bit about something in Japan that's a bit of an institution. Something that's been around since 1913, and something that's been going on pretty much continuously since. In fact, I don't think it even interrupted. Actually, yeah, it did. Because it went through like five. Yeah, okay. So what I'm talking about is a little thing called the Takarazuka Review. Now, if you've ever been a fan of Japanese pop culture in general, you have come in contact with something that has been inspired by the Takarazuka Review. Everything from, like, you know, anime, popular manga like Princess Knight, Revolutionary Girl Utena, a lot of like the modern sort of mass pop idol type groups, like, you know, what's that one? That one that's like really big and has like a whole bunch of fucking girls in it.
AKB48?
Yep, them. The Takarazuka Review is heavily inspired, has inspired a lot of these. What they are is they're an all-female musical theater troupe. They're based in Takarazuka, Hyogo Prefecture in Japan. Again, it's an all-woman performance, so, you know, women play both the male and the female roles. And they all do them in these huge, lavish Broadway-style productions. And they have basically been going continuously since 1913. They barely had a break off of the regular, they rarely even took a break during the fucking war. In fact, they only, basically only took a break for like a couple years, like in, I think it was like 1941 and came back in like 1944. So basically the whole idea behind the whole Takarazuka Review when it was Takarazuka, I don't know why I always get those two fucking syllables mixed up, but fuck it. The Takarazuka Review was originally created as by this guy named, Ichizo Kobayashi, who was, president of, you may have heard this called the Hankyu Railways, which is a, it's like one of the big private railway operators in the country.
Okay.
And he sort of created it as sort of a way as – for two reasons. One, he wanted to promote the line, you know, to potential investors. But he also had kind of a social and cultural thing that he wanted to do. He was one of those guys who, on the one hand, he thought like old school Kabuki theater was too like old and elitist in nature, but he also still had like really old-fashioned ideas about how women should operate, and so he kind of created the whole review as sort of a way to create what he called, quote, good wives and wives mothers.
This explains so much about modern idol culture.
Yeah. Now, I do need to point out what we call modern idol culture really didn't get its start until the early 80s, but you can definitely see the influence from the Takarazuka Review into how that whole business operates, because it's definitely based on a sort of idealized sort of sanitized version of Western sort of femininity that is put through like a lens of like traditional Japanese values regarding like gender and stuff like that.
Yamato Nadeshiko.
Yeah. What's ironic though is that the Takarazuka Review basically ended up becoming the complete fucking opposite of that. Because by the time the 50s rolled around, it started basically adapting popular Japanese works, especially some works that are part of I'm trying to remember what the term is. I think they called it like Class 24 type literature. Basically, it's the stuff that's like the predecessor to Shoujo Ai.
Okay.
Except it's like meant to be like platonic heterosexual life partner type shit. You know, it's like it's something they do when they're girls and then they grow up and they get married. And the irony is, in spite of that, the Takarazuka Review actually had a very large amount of a lesbian fan base. In fact, it once actually got so bad that it Because, like, here, the weird thing is that even though it's supposed to be, like, a traditional gender type thing, it also weirdly sort of mirrored sort of, like, how homosexuality is accepted in Japanese culture. In 1932, when there was a scandal when one of the Otaku Yaku, which is one of the actresses that plays a male role, actually cut her hair short. And then in the 1940, there was another scandal that happened when it came out that one of the actresses had been receiving love letters from a female admirer. And basically, up until fairly recently, the actresses were forbidden to ever answer fan mail or socialize with their admirers. Yeah.
Well, that's just pretty standard idol stuff, but...
Yeah, but that still sucks.
But, well, I'm not saying that it doesn't. I just... I know what to expect from this sort of thing, is what I'm saying.
Because the weird thing about Japanese culture, especially Japanese pop culture, is that on the one hand, on the surface, they seem to be somewhat progressive on gender issues, but you also realize that it's also something that's specifically molded for mass consumption and meant to be like – it's specifically molded to be just odd enough but also not offensive, quote unquote. Again, idol culture is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
But as for like how this this review actually inspired popular culture. So I mentioned earlier Princess Knight. Do you guys know what Princess Knight is?
Well, the name rings a bell, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay, Princess Knight is one of the major manga that was written and drawn by Osamu Tezuka.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, it's considered to be the first shoujo manga that was specifically created in that particular sort of story style. Because up to that point, basically shoujo manga was mostly like either humor strips or like moralistic pap.
Yeah.
But, you know, because the thing about Princess Knight was it actually specifically plays with like gender norms. Because you had, like, a princess who was born with, quote, a male and a female heart. So she's a princess, but she's also a knight. You know? Okay. It was the late 50s, man. You can't – you can only ask for so much.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal back then. And, of course, Princess Knight itself had a massive influence on shoujo manga in general. So some other shoujo manga stories you may have heard of. Ever heard of something called The Rose of Versailles?
I have.
Okay. Rose of Versailles is specifically inspired by the type of storytelling you would get in the Takarazuka review because the main heroine of that is a woman who presents as a man and is like basically having an affair with both a man and a woman. It's basically the woman she's having an affair with also happens to be Marie Antoinette, because The Rose of Versailles is basically about the Ancien Regime and the French Revolution.
Nothing like dropping names in there, huh?
Yeah. Cool. And that particular manga was by Ryoko Ikeda. And she also did like other manga sort of similar like this. She did another manga that was about the last days of the Romanovs and the Russian Revolution. That was called but that one also had it because the heroine in that manga was a trans woman. The Takarazuka review, if you've old school shoujo manga really played with like gender norms and stuff like that, and you have the Takarazuka review partly to thank for it. She was, and she also did some other stuff too. After that, you can sort of see inspiration for this in another, like, very sort of big anime that, like, did a lot of challenging gender norms and is a huge influential. Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, just quick, who here's seen that?
I haven't seen it. I just know a lot about it.
Yeah, it's a fucking classic.
Yeah.
It's a fucking classic.
I've loved all of the artwork I've seen from it.
Oh, like, the movie specifically is gorgeous. It's also usually a huge pull out the stops on the fuck, but it's
production values.
Yeah. It's usually, I mean, it's a massive fucking mind fuck, but it is a gorgeous fucking movie. So yeah, Utena in that she is both inspired both by the Takara Azuka review and the Rose of Versailles. So, you know, revolutionary girl Utena, you know, Utena herself, she is a woman who specifically aspires to be one of the princes of her academy. And her, like, other is this, like, black girl. I forget what her name is. I think her name is Anthony or something like that. I forget. But, yeah, it uses a lot of the same imagery. And, of course, Takara Azuka Review itself sort of paid it forward because after The Rose of Versailles became a huge bestseller, they ended up starting their own version as a show, and it's actually one of their longest running shows that they produce there. In fact, they first showed it in, let's see, I think it was in the mid 70s, and it's basically they've been doing it and redoing it several times since then. And that it hasn't stopped there. They've since also done a God damn it. Yeah, they've also done a bunch of other franchises that they've done, including Legend of the Galactic Heroes, for example. They did a version of that. They also did, they've done some other classics of the shoujo world, like they've done Revolutionary Girl Utena. They've done a version of the Orin High School Host Club.
Oh, geez.
They've done versions of Sailor Moon.
Standard.
They've done Princess Knight again. They were involved in an actual, like, original anime creation called Revue Starlight that they also do a show for. So yeah, they're like a major part. And then, of course, finally, Sakura Wars. Because this is where what inspires the Imperial Combat Review.
Full circle.
Yep. Right down to, you know, having characters playing both the male and the female roles. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
That's cool. I had no idea about any of that.
Yeah. I bring up Tezuka with Princess Knight because he was actually a big fan of the review, and that's kind of what inspired him to do that manga.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, we have to talk about our asshole of the week. Take a wild guess who it is.
A petulant little toddler.
Yeah.
So, as I think most people around here know now, we are starting to open back up. As a country now, we're now sort of midway through that. A lot of the old businesses are starting to open back up. You know, obviously they're doing it with like various social distancing guidelines and stuff like that. Of course, Donald Trump, the president, is sort of calling it a huge success.
Or else.
he can't because he cannot physically or mentally conceive of him being able to do anything wrong. And he's also sort of doubled down on the just sheer sadism of some of his policies, amongst saying that, and honestly, I doubt this is actually going to happen. He's claiming that he's not going to close the country if a second wave of COVID-19 happens. He's going to.
Well, you know even what? If he doesn't, then the rest of the country will close itself
right,
and leave him holding the bag.
Because I think a lot of people don't realize here in the U.S. is a lot of regular people started taking the initiative like a long time before he did.
Yep.
Also, it's fair to point out that depending on when the second wave of COVID-19 happens, he might not be relevant anymore.
Yeah, because we're having the election in November, early November.
Let's all hope that, you know, that he isn't relevant anymore. But, man, I think that second wave is going to be right on the heels of the peak of the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... It was definitely something I noticed today, is that a lot of couples where the woman is wearing the mask and the dude is not.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are mediocre white
people
here.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, I've seen that too, and it's super annoying because he doesn't give enough of a shit about his wife to put on a fucking mask.
Yeah. Just quick question. Has anybody here, when they've gone out with the mask, been hassled by someone for wearing it?
No.
Okay, good, because neither have I, fortunately.
Yeah.
No, but
the closest
that
thing I know of is my dad was going to a Maynard's, and the guy at the door was hassling him about putting it on when he was getting up to the door. And it's like, it's probably because that guy's gotten shit from people that ask him, that are annoyed about their requiring masks.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want shit from anybody.
Probably. I've been talking to people in different areas, and my brother says in Kentucky hardly anybody is bothering wearing a mask. He said like maybe 25% of the people he sees at Walmart bother to wear the mask. But here, I would say maybe 20% aren't wearing masks from what I've seen, but I haven't been out. I have been out, but I haven't been out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say from what I've seen, it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
Most
of the people I've encountered have been pretty good with it, but I will say that the ones I've found who aren't wearing it are sort of middle-aged to older white people.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of families.
Usual crop of belligerents.
Yeah.
Families without masks.
Yeah, because...
With little kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that inflammation shit is going around.
Yeah. Little kids are vulnerable to it too. Not necessarily because of what the disease does to you, but the shit that piggybacks on top of it.
Yeah, that inflammation thing is, I mean, it's downing kids, like killing them in, what, like 72 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, far be for me to question other people's parenting skills, but I would figure you'd want to minimize any chance of anything bad happening.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing, like, I saw a dad with his three sons. They're like 3 to 6 or 7. I was like, none of you wearing a mask? Like, you really don't care that much? Or you don't, I assume anybody not wearing a mask.
No, they think they're invincible. They think it's a hoax, or they think
they're owning the libs.
Yeah, the politics. The sad thing it's a thing.
The sad thing, I think most of them won't be affected by it.
Yeah.
So they'll think it was the right decision. Ugh. Even though the whole point of the mask is it's a selfless thing. It's saying, mm-hmm. I don't want other people to get this in case I do.
Yeah.
It's not about you assholes.
Yeah. Seriously. And
have you guys seen like really creative uses of covering your face methods? Rather?
I've seen people with like scarves wrapped around their heads.
I've seen people using scarves. I've seen people using coffee filters.
Like, where they just wrap their entire head except for their eyes. And it's like,
oh my god, my mom is using a baby bib, and she's like cut it like a full face mask.
I think it's from her eyes down. I think I've seen like the natural evolution of where this goes. I was at Walmart, and one guy, while we were queuing, you know, waiting to go in, one guy is coming out, and he's wearing a welding mask, and he had replaced the smoked glass with a clear piece.
Nice.
Okay, that works.
I mean, yeah, it's effective, but. But yeah. Why?
Well, I mean,
hey, you went, that sounds awfully
expensive.
Yeah, you went through more work to do something that frankly would have only been about as effective as a regular cloth mask. Like,
yeah, you could breathe better. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so.
And I will say CO2 poisoning is something that is like a serious With this, because you know, you wear that those masks, you're basically circulating your own breath, yeah. And you do that too much, it's gonna affect your health.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott was saying that he was probably in Aldi for like 35 minutes picking up stuff that we needed, and he said that he started to feel really dizzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to breathe through those, but depending on how thick they are, it's hard to breathe through that thing.
Yeah, it's hard to breathe, but it's also because you're basically circulating your own air.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's what happens when you breathe in the oxygen, out comes the what?
This is carbon dioxide, and then you're breathing back in because not a lot of it is getting through.
So. Yeah. But fortunately, we do have some heroes of the week. First is... Shad Gaspard, former wrestler for the WWE, who actually saved his son from drowning this week.
Yeah, before he drowned.
Yeah.
They got swept up in a riptide.
Yeah, he left the kid with the lifeguards and told them to save him, and then by the time they got back, he'd been sucked out to sea.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to think about, because the current that must have required...
Oh, God, yeah.
Like this is not a small individual we're
talking
about.
No, he is a big dude. And
and they eventually found his body a few days later.
Washed back up.
It's sad news, and he was very much a person that thought of others before himself. I think he stopped a robbery at a store he was at a few years ago. Because he was just a giant of a man.
Mm-hmm.
So probably scared the shit out of those guys.
Oh, yeah. The robbers probably couldn't hear a word that he said over the sound of them shitting themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Holy shit. All right. But we also had one other hero of the week. It's not a big hero or anything. It's just one Costco employee who was confronted by one of those dickbags we were talking about earlier, who were just total assholes about the not wearing the mask and not doing the social distancing, and he handled them completely perfectly.
Yeah, it's only 37 seconds, but the guy is confronted by this dude named Tyson, which on their name tags, they got a little sign saying, hey, please stand 6 feet away, for social distancing kind of thing. But he starts it by saying, I'll just put you on my 3,000 follower Instagram feed, mostly locals. To which the guy looks at the camera and is like, hi, everyone. I work for Costco, and I'm asking this member to put on a mask because that is our company policy. So we either wear the mask. He starts saying before the dude turns the camera on himself and says, and I'm not doing it because I woke up in a free country.
I did see this one.
Punch, 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 punch.
Yeah. Let's see. The customer continues recording the employee, who says he takes the man's shopping cart and says, have a great day. Customer asks the employee whether he's going to take his cart full of toilet paper, detergent, and other items away. He says, sir, have a great day. You're no longer welcome here in our warehouse. You need to leave. Thank you very much. So the guy was with his wife, I assume, who is wearing a mask. And I assume she was pissed, like, we need that fucking toilet paper, you asshole.
I mean, they had to troll the damn parking lot to find spot to park.
Yeah,
and then get the fuck in there and pick it all out. That was a time investment.
And the way he ends this is perfect. He says he's going to take the cart away because he's a pussy little bitch. There, he is walking away with all my stuff, then looks over at the people waiting in line to get to check out, and he says, there he goes, because I'm not a fucking sheep.
You know, calling somebody a sheep kind of makes you a sheep, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
somebody remind me of that when I say it, too, by the way.
You probably didn't notice the irony of all this. You have to wear a mask to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So he got in with the mask and just pulled this stunt to try to shit on Costco and this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got fucking owned.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people found his Twitter account. He said, people at Twitter, thank you for all the support.
Yeah, they have. They found the Costco guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
He said, I was just trying to protect our employees and our members.
Yep.
I'm telling you, once Trump is out of the White House, we are going to straight up have a – going to need a sort of like a thing of mass deprogramming.
Well, we're going to need a renaissance because we're stuck in the stupid ages right now.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Anyway.
When weren't we in the stupid ages? Like, I think I must have slept through that part.
We're pretty firmly entrenched in it at the moment.
Well, I was born during the Reagan administration, so.
Yeah.
I was born there pretty much my whole life.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. When wasn't the stupid?
Yeah.
I would totally call it Clown World if it weren't for the fact that those assholes already took that meme and turned it into some Nazi bullshit. So. Because otherwise, what else would you call this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I like when these people talk about, oh, it's a free country, you're infringing on my rights. It's like, you paid money to shop at this store by their rules.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, I can't add this other rule to
Remember,
that.
These are the same people that would get all pissy when people got mad at, like, a wedding planner or a baker for not making products for a game wedding.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
they have their cake and eat it, too.
Yeah. And it also doesn't help the fact that these guys will also try to bring up, like, the Founding Fathers or the Constitution. You know, during George Washington's presidency, they had a plague they had to deal with. And they had even stricter guidelines they had to go by.
Yeah.
So
I didn't put the story in here. There's somebody who's comparing the lockdowns, fighting the lockdowns to the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Which is like, no, you're...
Well, that's I can tell you worse. There are people who are comparing it to the Holocaust.
Yeah. And those people fail history forever.
Yeah, you know what's really bad? Some of those people are actually in Germany.
Yeah, that's...
Those are they're the actually having, like, anti-lockdown protests in Germany, and they're all wearing, like, little yellow stars. Yes, I'm not making any of this up.
Anger, anger, anger.
Anger, anger, hate, hate, must punch something. Yeah.
That's pure privilege.
Yeah.
Can we just hit them upside the head with a history textbook?
Well, remember, it's Germany. So if they take it one step too far, the state will clap down hard on their asses.
Yes,
so,
they will.
So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Still, I mean, that is just...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway. Wow. All right. Wow. Moving on from there, we're now going to the proper show proper, and unfortunately, we did have a couple celebrity deaths that we have to announce. First and foremost, RIP character actor Fred Willard, who was basically like the, I think somebody once called him the platonic sort of deaf comedy jam ideal of what a white man is.
Yeah, he's a very funny guy.
Oh, he was hysterically funny. He basically only had, like, one bit, and yet somehow it worked brilliantly.
Yeah, I was looking at his IMDb, and he's in a ton of shows.
Oh, yeah.
A lot for just, like, one episode or whatever, but...
Yeah, like I said, character actor. That's what he did.
Like, he was on King of the Hill for one of the episodes when he was a cop.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the one where the former Dallas Cowboys player moves in. Mm-hmm. He's one of the cops that's, like, playing buddy-buddy with him.
Yep.
And it's like he's just a joy to have in every show he's in.
Yeah.
Or any movie you see he's in, it's like, oh, this is going to get good.
Mm-hmm.
In pretty much everything Christopher Guest did.
Yep. He was in Spinal Tap. He was in Mighty Wind. Yeah.
Best in Show for Your Consideration. Mm-hmm. Tons of great movies, tons of great shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
86, so he... You know, went a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the last things I seen him in was he was on Last Week Tonight mm-hmm. for one of their bits. I think for old people.
Yep.
But he's got one more show coming, Space mm-hmm. Force.
Yep.
So you'll be able to check him out here in the next couple of weeks or next yep. week, actually. Mm-hmm. He was even in Tim and Eric. I was watching one of those episodes.
Yep. He was in one of them.
Where he's making slop for a cooking show.
Yep. Absolutely.
For as much as he's like kind of one note, but he's very versatile.
Well, he's one like, note, but it's like that one note is like really, really good.
Yeah, it's a good note.
Mm-hmm.
It's a note that survived, you know, 50 years of acting.
Yep. And unfortunately, we also lost another television and film individual. This one was mostly behind the camera. Lynn Shelton.
Director who is getting pretty hot there.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of work recently, directing stuff like the Mindy Project. She did some stuff for Mad Men, Glow, Fresh Off the Boat.
Mm-hmm.
Worked on the recent Hulu show, Little Fires Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The last stuff, Younger, We Go Way Back, all that kind of stuff. But she had a blood disorder.
Yeah.
That at 54.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a hematological type issue that had gone undiscovered pretty much this whole time.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, neither one of these people died from COVID-19. I need to point that out.
Nope.
Because that's just sort of where everyone's mind immediately goes when these celebrity deaths happen.
Well, yeah, and no. Because there are some celebrity deaths going on that have been due to COVID-19, so it's kind of
that is true.
To check. Yeah,
that is indeed true. So let's see. All right. So with that, it is now time to beep, back it up because we got to cut fresh load from the COVID-19 dump truck. So first and foremost, we got the numbers. There are now 5.2 million cases worldwide and 337,000 deaths. In the United States alone, there are 1.6 million U.S. cases and 96,000 deaths. We are very close to hitting the 100,000 mark.
Yeah. There was at one point the White House was trying to say we would reach like 78,000 or 86,000 by August.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we've blown way past that. Mm-hmm. We still got 3 months to go.
Yeah.
Also, I was looking back at the last few notes, and the increases are getting bigger.
Yep.
We were at 4.5 last week.
Yeah, because we're doing these opening ups, and we know that's going to happen.
Yeah, we got about 700,000 new cases over the past week, and the previous week
everyone's
got to
have their freedom.
Yeah, it's like 600K, 500K. It's like it's getting bigger. It's not slowing down at all. I'm looking at this the big chart they have here on the page for the cases, and it's a diagonal line going up.
Yeah,
not slowing down at all.
Yeah.
No.
I only want to see that diagonal line going up on my stock portfolio.
Exactly.
Not on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though we do have two new people entering the leaderboard here. Brazil is at 330K, which is number two now, and Russia is at 326.
Yeah, pretty much because of Brazil alone, South America has become a new hot spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also because their leader is a pig-headed lunatic who refuses to admit it's as serious as it is and does not want to take any meaningful action.
He's gotten rid of a number of people that were in charge of it because they couldn't stop it.
Yeah. And
maybe
it will,
because it's your problem, asshole.
Yep. And I don't know when the next elections are going to be, if there will be, considering who is currently leading it. And said individual is a huge fan of Brazil's military dictatorship. But, I have a good feeling that he probably will lose the next one.
Yeah.
Because of how badly he's bungled this.
I was about to say, do you want a coup? Because that's how you get a coup.
Yeah. I mean, people have specifically been making words about that, like, yeah, there might be another military coup, specifically because of how badly he's bungled all this.
Mm. But, one thing I do want to point out, though, is one reason that these numbers are going up is because testing is also going being ramped up.
Yes,
so.
That is also
yeah.
It's sort of trying to balance the nature of the numbers, like. Yeah. On the one hand, it is the numbers going up, but part of that is because the tests are now more readily available.
Yeah.
So, it's not so much that necessarily that all these people just suddenly became infected. It's that these were already there. It's just now we can
finding out about them. Yeah.
Yeah, we can actually.
Yeah, we can identify more than we used to be able to.
And that's actually a good thing because the more you identify, the more you're able to isolate it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're able to keep. Able to, like, track, their history up to that point, and you can get like potential. You can stop potential flare ups before they start.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Also, keep in mind that a lot of these people are also individuals who had it and then got over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're at 13.4 million tests.
Yep.
Done so far. It's not great, but getting there.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, here where I live, we have yet to have an actual COVID-19 death.
That's like...
lucky.
We have 13 million people in Illinois. That's only one state's worth of people tested.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Take what you can get.
Yeah. But of course, it's... this is America, and as America does, even when it's awful, life-threatening shit like this, it has to be political.
Oh, yeah.
America's Trump's in America.
Making sure it is.
Eric Trump, he basically went on – I mean, was this like a thing on like Fox News, or was it like a – I guess it had to have been a thing on Fox News, or was it on Twitter?
It was on Fox News.
Yeah, where he says the Democrats are specifically milking COVID-19 to punish Trump.
Yeah, which Fox News
show he's doing, was on? He's doing a good enough job of that on his own.
Yeah, so which Fox News show do you think he was on?
The Five? Nope. Or was it Fox and Friends?
Nope.
Sean Hannity?
No. Somebody has a false title.
Oh, Judge Dineen?
Yep. He was on there Saturday nights, calling for the need to reopen businesses across the U.S., also disputed the threat the coronavirus proved to Americans, contradicting the concerns of public health leaders, including White House officials. Basically saying they're trying to deprive him of his greatest asset, which is the fact that the American people love him, the fact that he's relatable, the fact that he can go out there and draw massive crowds. They're doing it for one reason. They want to hurt Trump. They tried to do it with the Russia thing. They tried to do it with the Ukraine scandal. They tried to do it with impeachment. Now they're trying to do it with coronavirus. They know they can't beat them. They'll milk it every day, every single day between now and November 3rd. And guess what? After November 3rd, coronavirus will magically all of a sudden go away and disappear, and everybody will be able to reopen.
Yeah. I'm not sure what world he's living in, but in the real world, that's not how things work.
No.
Yeah.
I love that his delusions make him happy, but he needs to fucking not share them with other people. Yeah.
He's very much being the SNL version of Eric Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where Don Jr. gives him like a spinner or something to play with, and he freaks out.
Have this yo-yo. Go sit in the corner and shut up for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I love SNL, man. This shit is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, they're not short on material these days, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, at some point, the president went back to the movies and decided to get an alternate version of Bill Pullman's little Independence Day speech in ID4.
Mm-hmm.
You remember it, right? It's really dumb and cheesy, but it works.
Yeah, it was epic in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill Pullman isn't happy with it.
Yeah, so he's not on Twitter, so somebody that's knew him, that contacted him, got his... responses. It was basically that video, but with Trump's face over Bill Pullman's face, and sprinkled in other GOP people into the scene. God. I guess Ted Cruz, Don Jr., as well as Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, of course.
Yeah.
Usual crop of jackasses.
Yeah. So his response was, "My voice belongs to no one but me, and I'm not running for president this year." See, Vivica A. Fox also shared her disgust. Pretending you know what you're doing, can't believe you would insult our classic film this way. But hey, typical POS behavior. You never had the leadership or courage to do this role. Never. And there's one member of the crew, the cast that's supportive of Trump.
Can you guess it's who Randy is? Quaid, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. At the premiere,
Isn't he
still hiding out in fucking Canada?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened to him? Like,
he drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, well, that it's his wife, partly. Oh, his wife basically gave him the Sovereign Citizen Kool-Aid, and he went completely freaking bonkers.
Yeah. I watched Vegas Vacation a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, he just became this character.
Yeah.
He's hiding out in the deserts, you know, scamming people for change and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically said here, at the premiere of our film ID4, the audience lined around two blocks and leapt to their feet, cheering with patriotic enthusiasm throughout the film. I had not seen that kind of intense fervor until the Trump rallies.
Oh my God. Fervor.
Give me a fucking break.
There's another fucking person who used to have fervor. Am I not right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fervor. Mm. All right, well, and now we're getting into the conspiracy part. You guys have heard that really dumb conspiracy theory that somehow spread like wildfire that COVID-19 was caused by the implementation of 5G technology.
Oh, God, yes, I have.
Yeah.
People set fire to the towers.
It's the funniest shit.
Yeah, well, basically this one douchebag lied about it.
Get outside.
Yeah, claimed he had this equipment that came from a 5G tower that has COV-19 inscribed on it. And then people got a look at it from the shaky cam footage he has and said, this is a circuit board from an old set-top TV box.
Yep.
This is not fucking from a 5G thing. So Snopes kind of went through this and
I love Snopes.
It's, they go through it. They talk to, let's see. Yeah, it's just the origins of the whole thing. He says, I don't really know any product by any company that produces circuitry like this that has the brand name COV-19 on it. But that's what it says on the fucking circuit board. I'm not a fucking conspiracy theorist, but obviously I've read all this stuff online about coronavirus and COVID-19. It's the same thing.
Why the fuck are they trying to spread bullshit? So,
But why the fuck are they putting circuitry like that in towers like that?
He could spread bullshit better if he had a shovel.
Yeah. But yeah, the COV-19 people figured out was just added to the circuit board in an attempt to falsify evidence for this. Never provides a truly clear glimpse of this piece of equipment, but people figure out some details from the screenshots of the video. At one point, you can see on the motherboard itself that it says Hanstar, H-A-N-N-S-T-A-R, which is a Taiwan-based company that makes television parts and computer monitors. So they reached out to them asking about this piece of equipment. But they didn't respond. Or no, they did. Okay. Or no, Reuters reported that it was taken from an old Virgin Media box for cable television. So Virgin Media responded to their request. Said, this is a board that had a very old set-top TV box and which never featured any component parts inscribed, stamped, or printed, or otherwise with COV-19. Absolutely no relation with any mobile network infrastructure, including that used for 5G.
And if you tried running 5G through it, it would probably melt.
Yeah. Virgin Media spokesperson identified, the ports they figured out has a SCART plug, 21-pin connector, things that would be on this stuff in 2020. So, yeah, it's all fake. Like everything just else like around this conspiracy theory.
Now I want this guy to make a comment, because let's hear what he has to say for himself.
Yeah.
You know what? Just...
we got to hold these people to account.
You can. I had some dumbass on fucking Reddit trying to tell me because I thought we should still keep things closed that I wanted to kill children. I was a child abuser. Okay, I'm not... See,
that's a non sequitur.
Yeah,
I am not the person living with these children who are beating them. I'm not a wife beater. I'm not a child beater. Fuck you. This has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I basically said, well, I hope that Kool-Aid's good. Hope it works out for you, dude. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. The answer to all that is the government. Well, the Kool-Aid
would
be
fine for him to take if he wasn't forcing it down anyone else's throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the weird thing about all those kind of responses, like, no, it's the government's responsibility to help people, and they're balking at it. Because they don't want to do any of it.
Yeah, if you check my Facebook feed, I think it was yesterday, I posted a video debunking this from Electro Boom. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta watch. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining.
You're saying SCART plugs aren't giving us coronavirus?
Well, first of all, SCART plugs aren't needed on mobile towers, so that's one strike against it.
Well, just one quick question. Has anybody else's Facebook been showing, like, the same stuff for the past 2 days?
Because people won't stop fucking sharing it.
Yeah. I guess. But, like, on mobile and desktop, it's, like, the same shit for the past 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, I get this, it seems like the stuff that surfaces is the stuff that's getting responded to.
Probably.
It seems always to be the same stuff.
Yeah, but it seems stale. I was looking at the very bottom of it, and maybe somebody liked it or something.
Yeah. There's supposed to be a way to, just show me chronologically. And that keeps moving every week, so good luck finding it. But it's there.
I don't know. I'm upset with Facebook altogether, because even using Brave browser, it made the fans on my computer kick on. I'm like, seriously?
Wow, you're having trouble with that.
Well, Brave is based on Chrome, so there you go.
It's a Chromium-based browser, isn't it?
Yes.
And Edge is now Chromium-based.
Yeah, Edge.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Yes. Edge.
That happened.
Is that how Microsoft made it not suck?
Yes.
Microsoft is really embracing open source. They have circled around and said, you know what? We were not right. Or at least a few of them have said that.
Well, yeah, but open source doesn't usually engage in autoerotic asphyxiation with your computer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But yeah, Microsoft is trying to turn their shit around. They're trying to remain very relevant. And I mean, they bought GitHub, a couple years ago?
Yeah.
So that's something, too.
They're doing the right things, but I don't think that hitching your web browser wagon to Chrome is one of those positive things.
Chromium.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
different.
It's the open source engine for Chrome, but then they went in and removed all of the Google stuff.
So it's like what's on Raspberry Pis.
But clearly what it's doing to Teresa's computer means it's still Chrome.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's heavy because you're opening up a processor every single tab you have open. So
yeah,
it uses memory, and that little laptop that Teresa has, well, it's getting old.
It's old, you guys. It's old and moldy.
All right, so next up, the president is claiming, and I don't really believe him, that he's been taking hydroxychloroquine.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, his doctor copped to it.
Oh, God.
This is happening.
See, now I'm genuinely worried for his health.
I'm excited for his health.
Didn't they just come out and say that it does abso-fucking-lutely nothing for...
It can actually hurt you even worse.
Oh! Yeah. It's not good for old people and overweight people.
Which
is both.
But he doesn't acknowledge that he's both, so maybe if he sticks his head in the sand, it won't happen. Sorry.
All right, but now we got some good news that comes with a bit of a caveat, but good news. Moderna has early positive results on vaccine work, but other firms are urging caution.
Of course.
Yeah, so part of the issues they have is that they didn't really put out any information with their announcements, data to back it up, what they're doing, in a way so that could verify what they're going through. And I think people also finding out like their CEOs sold their stock after all this came out. Basically after their stock went way up. So it's like, okay, so
why the price would you do that? The price is down almost $18 on their more than 20% over the last week. So,
yeah.
That tells me that they're noping out of there.
Yep.
And I would say kind of far, kind of thing. Far away from them right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much comes off as kind of a publicity announcement, even if they are making strides on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there's been reports from the DOJ that basically, as far as if people who are advertising their research and what progress they're making are becoming targets for hacks.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it might actually behoove them to just keep it on the down low as much as they can, saying, yes, we have this stuff working on, but we're not going to say too much right now. So that could be one other thing that they're doing. But, you know, with the selling off of stocks, it seems a little fishy to me.
Those are not great optics.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, as far as vaccines are concerned, the Trump administration signed deals with AstraZeneca for vaccine production and development.
Yeah, and this is going through Oxford University.
Okay, so there's adult supervision in the room. All right.
Yeah. Hmm. Still needs testing and all that. But hopefully that's going to work out. It's more than $1 billion they've paid to secure this this one. So who knows? I think they're at least having some positive tests through. I think they're using apes for this testing. That they're getting some immunity to it after taking it. So at least hopefully that turns out to be the case in humans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the stuff is still a ways off. I think even for the Moderna thing, best case scenario would be ready first half of next year.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's still another 7-8 months at least.
Mm-hmm. All right. As for those numbers we've been talking about, recently the manager of the dashboard that like clocked all of the COVID-19 numbers in Florida, he got fired because he refused to alter them.
She
got fired because she refused to alter them.
Rebecca Jones, who mentioned that her removal was not voluntary, that she was removed from her position because she was ordered to censor some data, but refused to, quote, manually change data to drum up support for the plan to reopen.
Mm-hmm.
Which definitely seems like something that Florida would do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it DeSantis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that he would do to get people back into the state to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's more important than people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, having ethics, you know, it's overrated over there, apparently. Mm.
Apparently, we're having similar issues here in Georgia. Mm.
I think there's a number of states that potentially have fishy numbers for these same reasons. You know, it's not a huge surprise.
Georgia, with Georgia, wasn't it that the antibody test plus the actual COVID-19 tests got the numbers got mixed up or something?
Yeah, because they specifically organized the data to make it look like the
they were graph. Putting the dates out of order.
Yeah, trying to make it look like at first glance like it was receding, but in fact, if you took a closer look, you'll notice that the dates are all out of order.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
That sort of thing that gets nerds on the internet really mad when you fuck up charts.
Yeah.
Like that.
This is how you incite a Reddit riot, seriously.
That's not how you do a chart. Your X and Y axes don't make any sense.
Yeah. As far as labor is concerned, another 2.4 million people filed for unemployment. That's a total of 38.6 million in the last 9 weeks.
Yep. I am in that number, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's... Yep.
Yep. Let's see, leading to levels of employment not seen since the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that, because things are reopening, that people are getting their jobs back. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a permanent thing with the way things are going.
No.
Eventually, we're going to have to shut back down again because nobody can do anything in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa would know that I send her gifts from one of the restaurants near where I work, the waterfall thing.
Yeah.
Their parking lot's been empty every single time for the last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And they reopened the other day and it's packed. I've not gone over there, gone into the parking lot. So, like, it's weird to pull into a parking lot, like, try and get Pokemon stuff and then leave. You
probably stay far away from there for the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At least so far, it hasn't been determined they can go through cars yet, so it's okay. I don't leave the car. Which, the great thing, the bad thing is it's that was Canadian geese territory for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
There's Canadian geese poop all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed when I was driving around there.
So none of us get to complain about our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a job. That was recreational.
A couple of dumbass geese put a freaking nest on the top of our 8-story building. Now, how do you think that's going to work out for them?
Hmm? Well, nobody's going to mess with them up there.
I've got a family of them that live in the river out back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I know you're not supposed to do anything with them, but I kind of hope that Henry went up there and shook the eggs so that they won't be born. I mean, it's better than falling to your death, right?
Yeah. But global carbon emissions have actually declined by about 17%. But let's be honest, that's just temporary.
Yeah,
because these places are opening back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Gas prices have gone way up now.
Have they?
What it was. It was 122, I think, when I last filled up.
122?
Yeah. That's... It's it was 179 when I left this afternoon. So it's gone about 57 cents in the last month. I assume it's because people are going to be driving around now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this gas was cheap. We can fucking make lots of money off these idiots.
Yeah.
People are fucking driving around, so they're proving them right.
Mm. But, yeah. And finally, State of Utah has created its own contact tracing app.
At least they tried.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
you've told us about the history of Utah and its electronic apps from the state that do weird crap like...
That's not even the problem here.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
Well, you consider that this is the reddest state in the non-South.
Uh-huh.
How many people do you actually think are going to use this app?
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I mean, they still made it, so I guess you could use it. You do have to be aware that it uses several different signals, so you're opting in for, like, basically tracking everything. But yeah, from what I read, they're actually handling it quite right, so this is not one of those cases where I think they've done it wrong. You have the ability to delete your data at any time. They will purge data after 30 days, so they're not hanging on to it. And your location data then is deassociated after 30 days. So, they're actually handling it quite well. So, I mean, if you're they're not using the Google or Apple API, so there's that. But they feel like they're gonna get a better, more accurate picture this way because they can get closer proximity. So. Yeah. I'd like to know, like, you're not going anywhere, Pat, so it's, like, kind of useless to have it, but you can download it and try it. I don't know.
And see what's going on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My battery's clenching up just thinking about it because I don't even put GPS on at any point because it just drains the battery.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And, Yeah, so that's basically it for the COVID-19 dump truck this week. Tune in next week when we'll have a fresh load for your face.
Yep.
Because we will. We always will. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Pat because this is all hockey shit.
Oh, yeah. The NHL segment. So this just went down tonight. The NHL has been kicking around sort of a hybrid format that would allow for a 24-team sort of hybrid wrap up the regular season and start the playoffs model. This model would keep seven teams from reactivating whatsoever because, let's be honest, they really didn't have a hope of making the playoffs anyway from what was left of the regular season. What they're doing is they're taking the top four teams in each conference, and those teams are going to just play round robin amongst themselves to determine the ranking amongst the top teams. Meanwhile, you're going to have teams 5 through 12 in each conference play top versus bottom to play into the playoffs. And so this will mean that teams that are on the outside of the playoff picture will get a shot, but they're going to have to play some pretty good teams to get in. And so I'm sure some of them will. So it will shake up the pecking order in the NHL a little bit, but not to such a severe extent as to delegitimize any Stanley Cup championship that will be awarded. After that one round play in amongst the 5 through 12 teams of each conference, then the number one team in each conference will play against the eighth place remaining in the conference, and then you'll have second versus seventh, third versus sixth, fourth versus fifth. At that point, you have a pretty normal playoff bracket,
mm-hmm.
And so that's what they approved tonight. It doesn't sound like it was anywhere close to unanimous, but it was enough to pass. It is still pending the approval of the NHL Players Union, but let's be honest, I don't see how they're possibly going to have any beef with this. And I actually, once again, going back to the hockey content that I've been working on, one of the things that I've been trying to hash out is if they did have to cancel the season and say that they are just not going to award the Stanley Cup in 2020,
mm-hmm.
That would create a much bigger mess than a season shortened lockout or something, but would eventually see a conclusion because players and teams have already made substantial investments in what they had every reason to believe would be a chance to play for the Stanley Cup this year. Trades have been carried out in that spirit. Assets have been moved, money has been spent, injuries have been sustained, and how do you compensate teams that have made those kinds of deals to specifically to win a Stanley Cup this year, deals that are not going to have any positive bearing on next season and beyond because the only remaining effect would be the assets they gave up. I wouldn't want to be the one to have to figure out how to clean that up. So I really believe that finding some way to award the Stanley Cup is preferable to ditching the season outright just because if you ditch the season outright, then trying to sort out the aftermath of that would take us well into next season. And at that point, you have an honest-to-God train wreck. So I'm glad there's a model in place. I'm glad it involves every team that has a reasonable shot at getting into the playoffs and maybe even a few that don't. But, part of what makes the new NHL compelling is its unpredictable nature. And so this kind of steers into that. I would hate to see it as a regular format moving forward as we go into the – I mean, obviously it's not next season, but the season after that, 2021-22, we are going to be moving to 32 teams. And so having a 24-team playoff format would probably be something that the bean counters would like, and it would give the fans more to invest in, but I just don't think it would do the product as a whole any favors. Mm. So as a one-time thing, I can see it being interesting and compelling, and we'll see what comes of it.
All right. Now to the regular news. I don't know if this got any, like, news or anything, or if we even talked about this when it happened, but back in February, there was a dude in Toronto who went into one of those erotic massage parlors and killed one of the girls there and injured another. And up to that point, you know, they had just been like, oh, God, another shooting, and nobody cared. But this week it was announced that it's now being classified as an act of terrorism because the suspect, they found a bunch of incel-related stuff on his computer.
Shocking.
So this is like the first instance of, like, I think at least in North America of incel terrorism being actually considered a thing.
Yep.
Well, it fucking is.
I mean, we've had definite instances in the past. I mean, everybody remembers what happened with frickin', what was his name? You all know the guy in California.
Yeah. His name doesn't matter.
Yeah, but all you need to know is,
like, he actually ended up killing his sister during all that or something. Yeah.
And killed a bunch of chicks at a sorority house. Yeah. That dude. Yeah. So this is a thing now.
Yep. At least Canada is doing something.
Yeah, they're a bit more proactive on this, but just a lovely another part of the world we live in right now.
Yeah. Well, we're calling it what it is, so.
Yeah. Cannot believe something like this managed to evolve this fast into something this deadly.
Yeah.
And something this pathetic, too.
Yeah, it really is.
Because it is. It's, this is like the, this is like the epitome of, like, man-child behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's a whole community built around it that specifically encourages this insane, like, spiral. Obsession. Yeah, into, like, a death cult. It's, yeah, it's awful shit. But,
it's stomach churning.
Yeah.
At the very least.
In other news, you guys know the story of Ahmaud Arbery murdered in cold blood, and it was caught on video. It happened here in my state. Well, a third dude, the guy who was responsible for the camera, who recorded it, he was arrested for being an accessory to murder because, as you can see, clearly see in the video, the dude was cocking his gun, so apparently he was getting ready to do this shit.
Yep. Yeah, he was arrested on charges including felony murder. I think there was also a charge of criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment.
Mm-hmm.
To go with that, so, hey, good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, if you see anybody on social media that is, like, trying to come up with some desperate defense for these guys,
shut them down.
Yeah.
Well, no, just completely fucking ignore them because you're not going to win that argument. I've already tried.
Well, no, I don't do it for the sake of bringing them around. I do it to humiliate them in front of their followers.
Ah.
And that absolutely does matter.
Yeah. Because as I've had to remind a number of people, he did nothing wrong. He literally went into a house that was under construction that I don't think was even, like, was it even being actively built at that point anymore? Like, had it been abandoned or something?
It was under construction.
Yeah, but either way, that's just something people down here do all the time.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading is like, oh, hey, just go around and see, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
Some people even just do that to, like, drop off the resume or whatever.
Yeah, like, at worst, it's a misdemeanor. You know, it'll get you a fine, and that's only if the cop cares enough to actually give it.
they're not going to do the paperwork because it's, like you said, culturally acceptable there.
Yeah.
And this is one of the Southern things that generally usually doesn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. That's culturally acceptable. Yeah, I find it creepy as all fuck, but they're not hurting anybody.
Yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, I did it myself a couple weeks ago. You know, but yeah. So yeah. And people are like, you know, it's like, maybe, you know, look at his criminal record. Maybe he had prior arrests for things like.
No.
It don't matter.
None of that excuses.
None of that matters.
Yeah. His death.
Because whatever crime you were accusing him of, he wasn't doing it there. He stole nothing. The property owner even said as much. He didn't steal anything. Everything was still there. And let me ask you, if you're going to a house under construction, what are you going to steal?
Nothing. Sawdust? Tools? Maybe no, it copper? Only either tools.
Yeah, most of the good construction companies take their tools home with them.
Yeah.
Or back to HQ. The only other thing I can think of that they could possibly steal is copper. And they weren't at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point, they would have like the doors up and locks on.
Yeah. Because copper theft is something that the industry is already well aware of. And, you know, they were not even close to that stage yet.
I've dealt with it in my line of work.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is just another instance of, like, this is like a even less ambiguous example of what happened with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Because we actually caught the whole thing on camera. Yeah. But, yeah. But shit's actually happening now. So, if you get mad, just keep telling yourself that. Shit is actually happening now.
Yeah.
These guys are going to court. They are, they had warrants out for their arrest. They were charged with felony murder. They are going to court. They will have a trial. And, like, even freaking Governor Kemp was like, yeah, we need to get these guys in court because the people of Georgia deserve answers.
Yeah.
And if Brian freaking Kemp thinks you screwed up,
you done fucked up.
Yeah.
Check yourself.
Next up in Stories of White Privilege, Lori Loughlin, the actress who, of course, played Aunt Becky on No, that's the other person. Crap. That is her. Yeah, that is Lori Loughlin. Sorry, I got her mixed up with that congresswoman who played Aunt Becky on Full House, of course. She was one of the plaintiffs in the college admissions charges, and they both pled guilty, and she is going to be getting a couple months in prison.
Yeah, 2 months for her, 5 months for her husband.
Yeah.
But all the other people of color who have done the same thing just so their kids could go to high school, in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
Mm-hmm. No, really nothing much else to add. Just, it's white privilege. That is exactly what it is. White privilege and rich people privilege.
Yep.
Yeah. So over in Midland in Michigan, they got some issues because the dams there are just about to be breached by the flooded river because they had a bunch of rainstorms and stuff.
Yeah, it's been bad. And, like, it was rain upon rain upon rain, and then another rain that was like 2 or 3 inches in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's done in a couple of our suburbs here. Like, yep. Des Plaines has houses up to their roof in water.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the town is, like, Des Plaines is a disaster area right now.
Yeah.
I know that. Well, it...
Always is,
I could say something here, but okay.
always is, but...
Thankfully you said it for me.
Yeah, it's just not good there.
Nope. Yeah, there's a huge chunk of Midland that's been evacuated. Then people are saying that could very well be 9 feet of water in those areas.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's and kind of part of it is that the dams have been in poor condition for decades.
Yeah, and let's just put everything in the private sector because that works out so well. So they're going to get some fucking trickle-down economics in Midland, and it's going to be in the form of a flood.
Yep. Yeah.
There's no fucking excuse for places like that to not be managed properly if they can't manage it properly privately, then it needs to be taken back over by the government.
Yeah. Basically, the government's been chasing the people that's are in charge of it to get this stuff fixed.
Yeah, and, well, that's not working.
Easy to avoid them. And yeah, it's just led to this big disaster. And guess what? You have all these people crowded into shelters.
Yep.
At a very bad time to do that.
In the middle of a pandemic.
You know, the whole complete abandonment of American infrastructure since basically the New Deal, it's going to be way more of a problem than I think we ever imagined.
Yeah. You remember when that bridge collapsed in wherever it was?
Minnesota.
It's like people thought it was like a big sign of something to come, and it's like, it hasn't quite been that bad, but it should have been a wake-up call to people. Like, we got to invest in all these bridges and dams and such we built that have gotten very little attention.
I don't understand.
It's a boring part of politics.
Right, but I don't understand the overwhelming laziness of our policies, and especially with, like, COVID-19. Well, fuck it. We can't really do anything else. Let's just reopen.
Kind of thing of it's like how the Grand Canyon's formed by slow erosion of water over the millions of years. And it's like, it's the same thing for these, where it's very slow damage that's being done. That's probably the people at the top deciding what money goes to them is like, well, this can wait. This can wait. And it just never gets the funding or approval to actually do any overhaul improvements to these things.
So it all becomes reactive instead of proactive.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the lobster pot analogy.
Very much so. Mm. Yeah.
Except you just knock it on the fucking floor. And the floor collapses.
Yeah. And everybody gets burned. And
I don't know. And we're in for an interesting next couple of decades.
Yep.
Very floody decades, because this shit isn't going away.
Yeah. Speaking of interesting, President Trump actually threatened to funding for two different states over their mail-in voting expansions. By the way, he can't actually do anything about it, so he's kind of just puffing out of his ass.
Screaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was funny, because the tweet they have here is not the first version of this tweet. He was complaining they were sending absentee ballots to every voter in Michigan, to which people are like, no, they were applications, you dumbass, which is what they should be doing, because there's this whole thing called coronavirus. We're getting people grouped up together, like if you saw what happened in Wisconsin.
God.
Where people had to fucking go into lines, standing 6 feet apart, which makes them even longer, and all that shit. It's like, nobody should have to do that to go vote.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But the GOP wants them to have to do that because that's more likely
to
keep people going.
It's the only way they can win an election.
They've been pretty candid about the fact that if mail-in voting was enacted nationwide, there would never be another Republican administration ever again.
Yep.
And you know what the contradiction here is? That Trump likes it. He's done it himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he hates the mail. He hates the postal system.
Yeah, there's going to be all these... this fraud going on doesn't ever happen at the amounts that the GOP says it does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know where the fraud is.
If there's any expert on fraud, I think he would know.
So, which is funny watching this stuff, him complaining about this, and then Jocelyn Benson, the woman who was running this program in Michigan, said, hi again, still wrong. Every Michigan registered voter has a right to vote by mail. I have the authority and responsibility to make sure that they know how to exercise this right, just like my GOP colleagues are doing in Georgia, Iowa, Nebraska, and West Virginia. Also, again, my name is Jocelyn Benson. Because he said here, Michigan sends absentee ballot applications to 7.7 million people ahead of primaries and the general election. This is done illegally without authorization by a rogue Secretary of State, which is her. I will ask to hold up funding to Michigan if they want to go down this voter fraud path. But you're sending it to the actual mailing addresses.
Yeah. Again, he can't actually do anything about this.
No,
so
no. Because each state country. Runs their own voting
he's just
programs.
Trying to misinform and deflect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then about
like I've said before, when it comes to shit like this, those states' rights arguments go right out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Nevada governor, Steve Sisolak, wrote on Twitter, "For the president to threaten federal funding in the midst of a pandemic over a state exercising its authority to run elections in a safe and legal manner is inappropriate and outrageous."
Mm-hmm.
That's also Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday for Trump.
Yeah.
Every day.
It's true, but I mean, that like smacks of dictatorship, or at least an attempt at it. There's got to be something. Well,
what is Trump if not an aspiring dictator?
Funny you mentioned that.
He is.
Next story.
So during a thing at, I think it was the Henry Ford Center, or the plant, Trump, because decided to do some praising of Henry Ford. And to be fair, there are things about Henry Ford that are worth praising.
And he also went for the creepiest way to say any of this.
Yeah, but basically, here's the thing, good things Henry Ford did. He specifically raised the wages of his workers because he figured out that, a happy worker is a more productive worker.
Well, I thought it was because he wanted them to be able to afford to buy his vehicle.
Well, that was part of it, yeah.
That was part of it.
But at the same... Never mind.
Yeah. And he also was one of the first to give them paid time off. And of course, as far as like automobiles are concerned, he's the guy who created the Ford Model T. He helped streamline the process of building cars and mass producing them. He also really hated the Jews, like to a psychotic degree.
Yeah.
So much so that he had a big effing fan and a gentleman you may have heard of named Adolf Hitler. And it was because of Adolf Hitler he actually got the a major medal from the Nazi government. Yeah, there's like a whole pictures of the ceremony and everything. And so for some weird reason, while Trump was praising Henry Ford, he was praising Henry Ford's quote-unquote bloodlines. Good bloodlines.
For some reason. Oh, probably knew in this case what he was doing.
Yeah, he had a prepared statement saying the company founded by a man named Henry Ford teamed up with the company founded by Thomas Edison, that's General Electric. When Trump came to Ford's name, he looked up from the text and observed, "Good bloodlines, good bloodlines. If you believe in that stuff, you got good blood," which is very creepy.
Uh-huh.
Especially because there's only one person in this planet that has his blood. Mm-hmm. It's the current chairman, Bill Ford. And so, the people are like, "What? Why is he fucking talking about blood?" But he apparently likes to talk about blood because he once told an interviewer, "I'm proud to have that German blood." I guess he also told British business leaders at a dinner in 2018, "You've all got such good bloodlines. You've all got such amazing DNA." He's also frequently suggested that because his uncle John Trump taught for decades at the Massachusetts Institute for Technology, he is similarly smart. Michael's a great professor and scientist and engineer, Dr. John Trump at MIT.
I think he needs to keep his uncle's name out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Said at a South Carolina rally in 2015, pointing at his right temple, he then added, "Good genes, very good genes, okay, very smart." Which is like, oh my god, this... He's very much funny in a way that you're like... it's horrifying that this person is the one that's running this country.
Yeah.
This is beyond cringe stuff.
Yeah.
And then in March, after he spoke to scientists working on the coronavirus response at CDC in Atlanta, Trump told reporters, "I like this stuff. My uncle was a great person. He was at MIT. He taught at MIT for, I think, like a record number of years. He was also a great super genius. Dr. John Trump, I like this stuff. I really get it. People are surprised that I understand it. Every one of these doctors said, 'How do you know so much about this? Maybe I have a natural ability.'"
Oh, my God.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Sorry.
I just like, he's like, oh, he's a great super genius. Yeah. Yeah. He taught for like a record number of years. It has to be the top.
It has to
the
be
top like, superlative nothing, for this
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't just be like, oh, he was a great guy. He's the best guy ever. He could have been Jesus if he was around then.
And meanwhile, John Trump is rolling around in his grave.
Yeah. Why did you give him my name as his middle name?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Now we could do a random factoid on him too, but
yeah, we will someday. But and our last political
probably do that when he's out of office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because let's be honest, we've all heard that name.
Too many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, for enough for one lifetime, really.
That should be the first one you do the show after the election if he loses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that is an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, November, let's see, it is November, it's May now, so we have...
about 5.5 months.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know... make sure it's marked on your calendars, folks.
Yep.
That's such a long
we don't have that much longer. Just keep telling yourself that.
No.
And the last political story we have for the night. Amy Klobuchar has been undergoing vetting as Joe Biden's vice presidential candidate.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. People are freaking about this. Like, there's going to be a number of them.
Yeah, this is Hillary. Just the one we've heard that's so official.
Far. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think what's his face from New Jersey was one for Hillary for a bit. It's like they're gonna spread the net pretty wide and then figure out who's the best one.
Yeah,
He said he's gonna have a woman, so there's a limit there. Trump has also said he's gonna have a woman, isn't he? It's like all right,
Trump says Pence a lot of things.
Yeah, he says a lot of things that don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wonder if that was news to Pence.
Yeah, life comes at you fast.
Wait, what have I done?
Yeah.
I've been your token white guy for 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so with that is the end of the political part of the show. We're now going to the entertainment part. First story is Joe Rogan is signing an exclusive deal to move his podcast over to Spotify.
Yep.
Huh.
Which, okay, sure.
Yeah.
He's got one of the most toxic podcasts around, I guess. That's super popular for some reason.
Yeah, like he got $100 million from Spotify for it.
And their stock prices went up by $1 billion, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
In value, so it's like, oh, well, that was a great value for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, you know, the podcast is like 3 hours or so per episode of just... Okay, it's like this, only less entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess more I can see the appeal.
And I mean, he's high for most of it, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the show where Elon Musk toked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, the one, like, service he did is that he kind of helped expand Bernie Sanders' sort of profile a little bit to that group. So
yeah, he did.
All the good it did, but
Well,
more delegates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do make a good point here. It's Spotify values Rogan more than any musician in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Because a musician would need to generate 23 billion streams on Spotify to earn what they're paying Joe Rogan for his podcast rights.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which means
wow.
Yeah. I don't get it. Spotify has been kind of betting big on podcasts that being, you know, the next big thing.
We're right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take 1% of what he got.
Yeah.
We'll take 100,000. We'll, you know, we're fine with that. We'll be able to get that'd Xbox Series X's and PS5's for everybody, and I think we're good. We're good. I mean,
that'd be a million, Phil.
Yeah.
That's 0.1%.
Christ, yeah, I'd be willing to just, I mean, Jesus, I'd just take a freaking gift card from Best Buy.
Yeah, anyway.
Don't tell them that.
Yeah.
$10,000 gift card.
Yeah.
Anyway, in other news, Ruby Rose is officially leaving the CW's Batwoman series before season 2.
Well, no shit. Didn't she fuck herself up doing that show?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, though I don't think that is necessarily the issue. They haven't really given an exact reason, but people think it's because of the long hours and the amount of time you have to work on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has a bit more ambitions to have a variety of things to work on.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm still thinking that the skeletal trauma had something to do with it.
Yeah, but I think there's also the fact that, like, as far as the CW, like, DC shows that they've been doing, the Batwoman show hasn't actually been catching on as much as,
yeah,
you know, they had hoped.
They had hoped, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be just for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Haven't found their stride yet.
Haven't found their stride, oversaturation,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. 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 There's 6 or 7 of those shows now.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They're still
really?
Going to add some more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're
oh
all my going God. Concurrently, too.
There's The Flash, there's Batwoman, there's Supergirl, there's Arrow, there's The Legends,
mm-hmm.
There is, what else is there?
Isn't there the Titans?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's a DC streaming show.
Oh.
It's not part of the CW thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What else is there? I think there's one more in there, but yeah, it's a pretty huge. I think they're still looking to add some more to it.
Mm.
It's a huge moneymaker for them.
Mm. Yep.
All that DC money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They cross over a few times a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which they can fix this new lead actress pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a number of people that can fudge with the timeline so that nobody notices that there's a different person there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I did see, what's her name, Stephanie Beatriz was saying she would like to, she would post like a joking tweet of like, ooh, I should read some Batwoman.
Mm.
Mm. But she is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
yeah.
Rosa.
Yeah.
And she would be a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right, and next up, HBO Max is getting the Snyder Cut.
Okay. There's a weird catch. This is that the Snyder Cut doesn't actually exist. They admit.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Wait,
see, what?
Snyder has to make it.
Yeah, the Snyder Cut has to actually exist before they can release it because
they're not sure if it's going to be a 4-hour director's cut or they're going to cut it up into like 6 TV style episodes. Yeah. So it's. For as much as people have been obsessing about this, it's a thing that doesn't exist in the way that they thought it did.
Perceive it does, yeah.
That it was a finished thing that just nobody would ever release.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now I mean, I thought it was, too.
Well, given all the footage that they probably have that was cut, and I'm guessing Zack Snyder probably has a pretty good idea in his head of what should have gone where. So, this is probably something that they could turn around pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to release it next year.
Yeah.
And they see enough money in it that they're going to call everybody in to film it.
Well, they don't even have to film it. It's all just footage that they've got already.
Like it did exist.
Yeah. Well, it exists in the sense that all the material is there. It just has to be put together.
Yeah. It's just that an actual director's cut doesn't actually exist.
Oh. Right. It's a Lego set with no instructions and no box.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of what they did with Batman v Superman, where just said, here's all the fucking footage, just figure it out. It's this 3.5-hour movie. It
makes no goddamn sense.
Where you're like, oh god, you need an editor. Because this is too long. There's a couple of good parts, but there's all this other stuff. Oh my god.
Yeah.
We didn't need you to just undo all of click Control Z on it, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Zack Snyder was going to get $20 million, I guess, out of this. So he got paid for when they made it, and he gets to pay again to work on it some more, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they have to – let's see, where's it at? It's unclear what form it'll take. But Snyder's are now in the midst of reassembling much of their original post-production crew to score, cut – add new and finished old visual effects, and yes, maybe bring back many of the actors who record additional dialogue.
Yeah.
So, like, there's still a good bit of work to actually do.
So they are going to go the extra mile for it.
Hmm. One source has pegged the effort in the $20 million range, though another source says the figure could be closer to $30 million. Yeah, so this is a – it seems like a great move for HBO Max. because it's a thing that's the certain part of the internet that's been obsessed about it once, and you'll get them to at least pay for 1 month of your service.
Yeah.
Yep.
This releases.
Yep. Or do the free trial, in which case you get no money. Yeah, that was a great business.
Yeah.
Just peachy. Just genius.
Yeah.
Genius!
But, so
I gotta find something else to get them in the first time, and then they're like, oh, I gotta pay the $10 or whatever, $15 this thing's gonna be.
Yeah. And,
I just love the notion of giving in to these people and being like, oh yeah, this thing didn't actually exist, we gotta make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you guys have been obsessing about this for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, they're now going to capitulate to them anyway.
Oh, yeah. Mm. But next up, we got some good news. A lot of us were upset when we found out that Tuca and Birdie was canceled after just one season on Netflix, even though the show was really good and was definitely going places. Yeah. Well, we got some new good news. Adult Swim is saving the day, and they will be producing season two.
Yeah, pretty much a perfect spot for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the one other spot they could go to.
Yeah. Well, they could have gone to Amazon, but, you know.
Yeah. Mm. But, yeah, they're going to have another 10 episodes for season two.
Mm-hmm.
And, everybody's going to be coming back. And it's going to be great.
Mm. Yep. Going to be awesome.
I just have to figure out what channel Adult Swim is on in my lineup, because I don't watch it much anymore.
On Cartoon Network.
I know that. Like, what number it is.
Oh.
I don't go that deep on the numbers.
Mm.
I guess my Roku TV actually notices which channels I go to the most and puts them up front, which fucks it up when I'm trying to go to the number in numerical order.
Mm.
It's like, wait, why isn't this here anymore? Mm. Oh, fuck, I gotta go all the way back to the actual front.
Mm.
Oh, you assholes. I could probably turn it off, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Except we've got Tom Hanks' World War II drama he's produced called Greyhound, and it moves from theaters to Apple TV Plus.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, it was delayed from a May 8th launch to June 12th when it was with Sony, and obviously theaters are not going to be that open that soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most places, at least. So yeah, they struck up a deal with Apple.
Yep.
Which is a big get for them.
Yeah, because this actually looks pretty damn good, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And finally, last story for the night, we got a trailer for the next Christopher Nolan flick, Tenet.
Yeah. Which I could have sworn I've already seen this trailer, but yeah, it's...
Yeah, they kind of more plainly explain certain parts of it.
Yeah.
That this guy has the ability to reverse time.
Mm-hmm.
Interact with things in their reverse time order, whatever the fuck that means.
If you thought Inception was confusing, this is more confusing.
Yeah, because they show like this piece of like cement that's been shot a few times. And he's like, oh, I haven't shot it yet.
Mm.
You're like, what the fuck? And you watch the bullets come back to the gun. He's like, oh, yeah, my clip is full. I'm like, what the fuck does any of this serve a purpose for?
Yeah.
And there's that whole weird driving sequence, like, well, that's pretty cool. Also very weird.
Because
I want to see the behind the scenes. Like, how did you film this shit? Because that's going to be one of those things. It's not like he's new to this kind of thing, especially with Memento and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Chris Nolan does like to do those really weird mindfuck movies.
Which then you think about, like, his Batman stuff is like the most normal stuff he's ever done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, this is straightforward and easy to understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even for the third one.
Mm.
It's like everything else, like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah. I love that in the, like, at the end of the trailer, it's like, coming to theaters. I'm like, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
They're staying stead, because they're the one big movie that's never had a new date announced or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And I like that they do that to be like, yeah, we're still coming to theaters. Still July 17th. So they
I mean, they could come to theaters, but if there's no theater, well, technically, I guess some theaters will probably be reopened by then. But
yeah. And I don't know if you noticed when this got released, the trailer in Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got a new social space there that they added a little while ago. It's for a place where you can hang out with people and not have to play the game, I guess. And I guess Christopher Nolan likes this idea so much that he's going to have one of his movies aired in there.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know which one yet, but people are like, oh, it's got to be Inception or something. Yeah. They can build some elaborate shit to go on around the world when they're doing that shit in the movie.
Pretty good one to do.
Yeah. Hmm. But like the notion of like watching
over the heads of most of the Fortnite audience.
Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, those are too violent. And it's like, do you know what they do in Fortnite? They shoot each other.
Yeah.
And then they fall over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they dance.
Yeah. Hmm. And it's like the notion of watching Inception on like the screen in there, and then the whole fucking game world starts folding in on itself.
Mm-hmm.
All this shit. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
When they go deeper, like the visual shit that you could do with that. So there's a lot of cool stuff they could do.
Yeah.
I like them just put on The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, let's put a cool movie on here that people can understand.
Mm. All right. And I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks, over 2.5 hours. Wow. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, if you want to see or listen to, you can't actually see it because none of you people actually know what I look like, but if you would like to listen to it, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And, you know, if we're not on there yet, just wait a little while. We will be. And, I mean, what the hell else are you going to do, right? So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logi, I would like to leave with one little bit of Brandon's wisdom for the week. Oxygen, the molecule that you need to live, is also poison that slowly kills you over 70 plus years. You are literally born to die. Good night, everybody. See you next week.